going to be a side note if I can give you this today. This is Russ Dizdar, Book of Acts. We are in the study training. We've done Audio 27. We are now here at Audio 28. And it's just a three-point thing I want to give you to remember all the way through this Book of Acts and when you're out on the field. As I say a lot, that we will be the most powerful, supernaturally backed. God is going to be at work. There's no question. You study and experience, and I say that, the memorize Mark 16:20, and then realize you live that. You're going to be living that too, and you're going to see God at work doing that, and you're going to just have story, and I think sometimes astounding stories of what God does in and through your life. I think that's a good thing. I think that's an incredible thing. You know, when the Bible talks about, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, or a pastor says, who has a testimony today? Well, you know, actually, all of us could have testimonies. One, how we got saved, what God's doing in our lives, and, you know, just everything that God is doing operatively in our lives, and as we go out sharing. Now, I want to give you the what some call the doxology in Romans, the last chapter, 16. Verse 25, listen to this. Now to him, God, of course, now to him who has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret for long ages past, but now is revealed by the prophetic scriptures according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the Gentiles for the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. It's in this last part of the book of Romans that Paul talks about, you know, taking that gospel. You got to understand how all of heaven, this everything is focused on the gospel, Jesus, salvation. One person repents and gets saved, all heaven rejoices. This is what we must understand, that the most important, I don't care if I'm exposing dark stuff and Satan's doing this and, you know, everything else that's going on, the biggest thing in heaven, the biggest thing, the forefront of what God is doing is saving and healing and working and being operative and in all that God does in the setting up, once again, I'm going to say setting up to get people saved. The most, not the least, and that's important for us, not willing that anybody would perish. Now, when I share that, I also read now in first this Romans again, 15, just back up a chapter, verse 17, in Christ Jesus, therefore, I have reason to boast in my service to God, for I will not dare to speak of anything except Christ, what Christ has accomplished through me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm sharing that just quickly because I'm telling you that the body of Christ, and you as a believer, based on this chapter too, you got to understand how massively history shaping this is. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, the body of Christ that has been gathered, promised they would be clothed with power from on high. Jesus saying, go into all the world and make disciples and then, you know, baptizing them and so forth, teaching them, I am with you always to the end of the age. I believe you need to bind that truth to you. When you bind the Word of God to you, you bring the Word of God brings the experience. As a believer born of the Spirit of God, that's experiential, having inexpressible and glorious joy, the dunamis of God. People, I've heard people say, and at one of the Bible schools I went to, they kept emphasizing, we go by facts, not feelings. Don't rely on your feelings. Well, I go by the Word of God and what it brings to our feelings, the real living Savior, the real dunamis power of God. And that includes all that God is and does. Now, if there's times my feelings or whatever else, maybe there's demonic oppression around me, and I need to use the authority of Jesus to rebuke that and stand. But as believers in the end of the age. And I do believe that we're at the end of the age, and this astounding history of God is still going on. And the book of Acts, in a real sense, is still being written as the church does what it does worldwide in all the nations of the world. And as you are listening to this audio 28, as you're thinking and looking through Acts chapter 2, take your time. That's why we're taking our time through all of it, so that we can listen and take scripture and memorize and step out and bring it before the Lord and pray and, you know, go to that portion of your workbook that you're writing down the names of the lost that you know. But in all of this, as you step out, a living Savior who's in you and clothed with power and enabling you to speak and empowering you to get stronger and stronger, Acts 9:22, more and more powerful you become, more and more experienced you become, more and more able and competent and confident and mature, and that includes your handling of miraculous signs, wonders, miracles, and things like that that occur, or spiritual giftings and so forth. I just think that the church, wherever the church is in the entire world, it is the body of Christ. Christ is the head. And the whole of the church, there's one body, one church, one baptism. You know, we read that. We know that. So wherever we go, there should be that. The church everywhere should be on the same mission also. And today, I ask churches, I look at churches and visit in the context of what I do nowadays in mission, and I wonder whether local churches know what they're here for. When they gather on Sundays, why they are here. If it's just a service to touch people, the believers a little bit, to have a good service and they go home, to kind of maintain, no, that has, you're just hanging on then, by a thin thread even. No, we're here in mission. We gather to gather around a living, that's why we go into those buildings or wherever we gather. The building has nothing to do with it, right? We gather to gather around a living Savior. And all the promises and all of what he says and all of what he's right there in the throne of grace. And the massive worship begins. And then, as it should be, the house of prayer, massive intercession should continue. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and massive praying for the advance of the cause of Christ and praying against radical evil. Do you know what kind of, right, like Acts 4, and we're going to really emphasize this because the church needs to stop right now of this craziness of dumbing down and not doing and hanging on by a thread and turn around because of a living, powerful Savior. And I'm just going to say to every pastor, every leader, you got a Bible study, a house church, it could become everything you see in the book of Acts. And three things I emphasized in audio 27 I want to mention here. Yes, you believe Jesus, you're going to see his power and presence and working and signs and wonder and healings and deliverances and setup and providence and charismatic giftings. Three things I want to emphasize again. There is, when it is all by God's hand and all the gifts of God, all what God does, Jesus went around doing what is good. So it's good, powerful, awesome. That's how it should be. And if we grow in the Word, in Jesus, in our depth with him, if we keep growing deeply and wonderfully, and we're doing the works of Jesus, and we begin to see miraculous things, and maybe somebody gets healed, or we have our spiritual gifts and we're using them, that's all to the glory of God. It's the common grace of God that comes out. Now, that's what we should continue to pursue and do good. And I believe John 15, when we're doing the works that we've been prepared, you know, God, you know, we're chosen in Christ to do the good works. And when we start doing those, the Father sharpens us, prunes us. In other words, makes it even better that we bear more fruit, much fruit, fruit that lasts. So it's all about, you know, there's believers that stepped out and did a couple things. Maybe warfare came or somebody made fun and they quit. I would say today, my assessment is this. Many believers, because of the way the church has let itself be, has turned millions of believers into spectators, just watching. And all of them need to be turned into, you know, servants on the field of human history, doing the works of Jesus, based on the word of Jesus, clothed, empowered, guided by the Spirit of Jesus, right? And when we're doing that, when you're really doing the real word in the real power of God to the glory of Jesus, then guess what? All those miraculous things and giftings and workings only deepen everything in you, your relationship. You get to know Jesus, the way the Spirit of God is working, the miraculous things, people getting saved. All the things become, and you keep looking at Scripture to match it all up, to see it all, to let Scripture be the grid of all that's happening. Now, it's possible out there that you'll see some fleshly things. Obviously on TV, anybody that pays money can get on television. And you might see some weird things or misuses of gifts or, you know, claims or people just focused on one thing alone. We're here just to see the glories of the Lord to fall on us today. And they don't care about salvation. And again, they lost mission. They've lost mission. Or the whole church shows up for a couple songs and all the announcements and the speaker becomes a famous speaker and all he does is speak and no invitation, no works of God, no healing of God, no demonstration of God's power. Nothing else happens and everybody goes home. So I want to say that fleshly and immaturity and those kind of things can be there. And what you and I have to do individually is in our own walk as we're growing in the Lord, growing in the Word. And you can't do it without, you know, being in relationship, talking to the Lord, listening to the Lord, and obeying Scripture. I'm going to be very frank when I say this. Your obedience to Scripture may surpass the leadership in your church and other places at times. And I want to say to leaders that, you know, leaders are to set the example. We're to be out there doing all of that. Not just to be an example, but that's because I want you above everything else. I just want to follow Jesus, do what he said. And so I'm launched in mission. I'm part of the Great Commission. I'm here to do what it is that God has wanted done. And this great mission of Jesus, is there a spiritual battle in the midst? Yes. Are there some that will refuse to love the truth and so be saved and perish? Yes. In all of that, will there be some battles and things and challenges? Sure. Along with staying obedient, along with staying praising God and waiting on the Lord at times, triumph of God, intervention of God, restoration of God. And I think that's true when Jesus said in Mark, you know, when, you know, people say, for you, Jesus, we've lost homes, we've lost family. Well, he also says, whoever has will also gain brothers and sisters and mothers and homes and so forth in this life, let alone eternal life. God will continue to back you. God will continue to raise you up. God will continue to pick you up. And I guess part of what I'm saying is stay in the good presence, good power, the Word of God, and live in that. And don't let anyone else dumb you down, pull you aside, mislead you. Avoid the fleshly stuff. And whenever you see the counterfeit, rebuke it, command it, stand over, opposed to it. Because if the body of Christ being strong and advancing sees counterfeit to mislead, I mean real supernatural counterfeit, and you confront, there's a power encounter, in the book of Acts anyway, the dark side loses every time. And God is here to let the church go forward and that the gates of hell will not even prevail. So I just wanted to encourage you today to remember, there's a lot of reasons why sometimes believers quit serving, quit being the servants of God, things that happen in life, a Job experience. And there's times we have battles and issues and things, but in those, we seek the Lord. You know, Jesus was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right, in the fire. The guys in the boat, the disciples in the boat, the storms are all up. Jesus is in there sleeping. He's in the boat. And the amazing thing still that will continue to amaze you is that every day he's here to work in our life. Every day he's here for us to pour out our hearts, pour out everything. And I want you to know that as you're going through the training. Because I do believe, and I've done training courses like local Bible school. There's times we set up, other churches want me to come over and do, you know, a 14-week training. And I noticed 35 people sign up, and maybe within a few months, especially on spiritual warfare trainings, 10 people are missing. Is it true the enemy, like with Jesus, you know, and the disciples, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. Well, that's a good thing. Jesus never has an unfulfilled answer. His prayers are always powerful and effectual. So we're he's the great intercessor right now. Listen, I say this on the radio, say it here truly. No one loves you more. No one knows you better. No one ever wanted you, desired you more than God in Jesus Christ to save you. And you read John 14, he's gone away to prepare a place for you. And he's coming back to get you. And he's here to back you. So I want every believer to know, pastors, leaders, no matter what you're going through, you stay obedient to the Lord. You keep praising Jesus. You'll grow stronger than ever because he's with you every day, operative every day, here to lift us up again, renew our lives again. So a special word to those who may have done things years ago. Sometimes there are believers, and you might meet believers like this providentially in the midst of you going out. You're amazed. You're blessed with the Spirit of God. You're leading people to Jesus. You saw somebody get healed over there and a demon go out of a teenager over there and the drug addict utterly saved and delivered forever out of that world. And then you meet that believer that's been, you know, defeated and crippled. That's the goal of the enemy. And sometimes just simply believers give in to things. The world, the flesh, the devil. And yet Jesus gives us victories in him, spelled out in the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, over the world, fallen world, over the flesh, and over the work of the enemy. Now, we're to be active. You and I are not to be here passive, just watching. So break out of the mold of passivity and being spectators. You stand up. You tell the Lord, here am I. I'm here to renounce and deny self. I'm here to take up the cross daily. I'm here to meet with you. I bind the word of God, the truth. You dwell in me. You're with me. You love me. You'll work in me. That you have plans for me to not to harm, but to bless the life. And I'm here to serve you, a Savior, God. And it means everything in this last hour of human history. And by the way, is it the last hour? Here's your homework. 1 John chapter 2. Take a read of that in the application of evangelism. Love you today. Simple little note here in audio 28, Book of Acts training, and we'll go on to the rest of the chapter 2 here in a moment.